Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
It's 8:15 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. Our second hour of Galesburg Live is underway. I'm Will Stevenson, your host this week. Glad to be here. We will have, by the way, both of our hours of this program available a little later on this morning on WGIL.com in the on-air conversation section if you missed them. This hour, we are going to talk with Galesburg City Treasurer Elijah French. You've heard from Elijah a number of times, and somehow he decided that he wanted to briefly leave the world of journalism. I tried to indoctrinate him into and somehow be involved in local politics. Not that that's a bad thing, because we need more people like Elijah around for sure. And he was elected here this past April as the next city treasurer. So good morning. Welcome back.
Thanks, Will.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about that first. You've been involved in politics in some form for a little while now. But you ended up being a write-in candidate for city treasurer. What was the trigger point in your mind to say, hey, I think I can do this? Was it the fact that there wasn't really anybody running except on a write-in basis, or was there some maybe deeper feeling from your view about that?
I think it started. It started kind of as the idea that no one had filed petitions, and then you start looking at it and saying, okay, at that point, the treasurer's office was the one with the money bag and taking the money bag to the bank every day and whatnot, making deposits. And so it becomes, okay, so anyone could come in and file as a write-in candidate, you know, because there's no threshold for that. Like there is in other elections, you know, literally could vote for themselves if they're the only write-in candidate and win. And so that created to me was a questionable situation in others. But then it kind of evolved into that, looking to the history of it, kind of what the council had just done in regards to the treasurer's office, the discussion that had taken place, and saying this is really an office that we don't need.
So it started out as something – like, for lack of a better term, you wanted to help keep democracy going, if you will. but as you looked into it, you wanted to kind of keep the discussion about the necessity of the office going,
right? And so, it started from that genesis into more of a larger issue of what's the future of this office. Let's have that conversation. Just because there was a determination made and for. Fiscal year 17, that needed to continue to be a discussion because, I mean, from my point of view, is what I, you know, chiefly ran on was the idea that the office is redundant and needs to be phased out.
And you're not the only one that thinks that way, too. Otherwise, I would imagine you wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Right? Yeah, I probably wouldn't have won by 10% if there wasn't other people that felt the same way. Because, I mean, of the election, that was the issue. And that was on purpose. That's what I wanted the issue to be of the election. There was two very competing visions. There was mine, and then there was Jerry Reynolds, where Jerry just kind of wanted to let it go and stay as is and continue to be what it was.
Jerry Reynolds, we should say, just retired as administrator of the Knox County landfill, for those who don't know who he is, but was your primary write-in opponent. So was it difficult kind of campaigning and saying to people, hey, there's nobody on the ballot, but there's two write-in candidates and I'm the one you should write in?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly write-in candidate makes it much more trickier because, you know, obviously you it's somewhat sad to say, but it takes more effort.
Yeah.
And so they have to know your name. They got to know how to spell your name, which, if you know my first name, makes it a little more difficult.
You spell it with a Z, right? No. I'm kidding.
No, not Liza. And so, I mean, so yeah, it makes it much more harder. So we did some things during the campaign to try to make sure that people would be able to spell my name if they wanted to vote for me.
Isn't it odd how things like that can really make a difference? That, like, you know, how do we spell this guy's name?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been studies done about how voters approach a ballot you know, how, you know, the things that they decide on, you know, even the effect of, like, if you had someone who had filed and there's two names there on the ballot, you know, there's a percentage bump just simply for whoever is the first name for that position.
Yeah.
On a ballot. And just how people go and do the process of voting is really, you know, different than what you think.
Yeah, yeah, really. You, you again ran primarily on the issue of, in addition to transparency, and if you're not in, running for public office talking about transparency, in my opinion, you don't deserve to be elected. But you also, as you said, talked about the issue of eventually the treasurer's office needs to be eliminated because of its redundancy. And I remember talking to you, I think maybe during the campaign, about this, and I want to maybe have you express that here before we take a break. Were you surprised that how many people didn't know that there was a separate treasurer's office as compared to the city finance department?
The thing that I found surprising is most people have an idea of what a treasurer is, and mm-hmm. to explain to them that the Galesburg treasurer is substantially different than, let's say, the Knox County treasurer and what the Knox County treasurer does was kind of difficult. And so that was a huge, you know, kind of informational piece that we had to do, which was
– even over and above treasurer versus city finance department?
Yeah. I mean, to some degree, I think everyone realizes because they pay bills to the finance office that it's there.
Yeah.
And I think they understand for the most part that it's separate, but they don't understand the role in Galesburg typically of what the treasurer actually does.
County treasurer collects property taxes versus the city treasurer that doesn't.
Well, partially.
In a sense.
Partially. But the additional part of that is, you know, the county treasurer is involved with the budgetary process. They're, you know, they're the one coordinating with the auditors. They're the ones, you know, all disbursements and receipts are kind of coming in and out through that office.
Mm-hmm.
And so the treasurer's office in Galesburg does none of that because it's all done by the finance department.
Okay. On that note, we'll take a break here and we'll talk about some of the things you have been doing because, you know, if I didn't know any better with all the work that you've been doing, you might almost want to change your mind and advocate for the treasurer's office to stay in effect. But I know you still want to go down that road of eventually eliminating it. But we'll talk about what you have been doing and some of the problems that you've been tackling. We'll do that after we take a break, or we'll start to have that discussion, that is. AM 826 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning. I'm Will Stevenson. My guest is Galesburg City Treasurer Elijah French. I want to talk about some of the things you have been doing that, if you had your way, you won't have to do much longer. But we were talking before the break earlier about, again, you campaigned on the idea in that the treasurer's office needs to basically go away. And you're telling me that there have been some discussions to that end since you've taken office?
Yeah, we've been having discussions within between myself and some of the other officers and city administration about what that looks like. Actually, before I got into office, a lot of the duties that had been being done by former Treasurer Dahlberg, most of those duties had already been moved. So like when I brought up the money bag and things of that nature, that's all now being done by the departments and by finance. And has been, you know, 2 months before I took office. And so more and more of that's been shifted. The actual duties of the treasurer's office now is really limited, or not limited, but is really confined, to the stuff dealing with the pensions and things like the treasurer's report and stuff like that.
So how helpful has the finance department been, I guess, in terms of, you know, just helping you get acclimated to the role and in terms of perhaps moving forward with the idea that you want to kick yourself out before too long?
You know, my experience with the finance department and also the city clerk's office, who handles a lot of the stuff for the pensions, the two pension funds, has been great. I mean, it's been, I think, number one, it helps having a treasurer that isn't adversarial with those departments. And number two, number two is I think it helps that, you know, I viewed them with respect and but they've been exceptional in about the aid and information they've been able to get to me.
Do you think there's been an adversarial relationship between the treasurer and the finance department in the past? Or is there any, do you have any sense of that one way or another?
I think there was certain instances where at least, you know, Treasurer Dahlberg had some differences of opinion. We'll put it at that, compared to the finance department. Specifically. And so I think there was some tension there. I don't think it was bad enough. I know. Yeah. So I know that there was some issue, but there wasn't, it wasn't to the degree that, you know, they were bricking up walls to separate the two.
Yeah, to that end though, while I think though, that might maybe in a way almost make an argument that maybe the treasurer's office needs to stay around to have that sort of check and balance to the benefit of the taxpayers. What would you say to that?
I would say that that isn't the right person.
Okay.
Because here's the reality. The treasurer can be there and say, you know, whatever, you know, the finance isn't doing this right. Finance isn't doing that right. The reality is the treasurer has zero power over the finance department. Zero whatsoever. The person who has that power is the city manager. So it would be Todd Thompson. And that actually, with Dixon, when they reformed after their mess and went to a city managerial system from a city council system to the
council manager form?
Right, council manager form like we have. That's actually what happened is the city manager became the check on the finance director because they got rid of the comptroller treasurer position.
Okay. And before we take a break here, I wanted to touch briefly on give me an idea of some of the things that you've had to work on or perhaps sift through. And, you know, in a transition, there's always difficulties and different things. But I get the feeling that maybe you jumped in a little deeper than maybe you thought you might have to. Would that be a fair statement?
I think it's somewhat. I think most of the issue has been just things that I was not aware of that needed to be done, and bluntly, things that weren't done that should have been done, and so that's been part of kind of the, you know, this last month or so since I've been in office of trying to bring the office up to where it should be, kind of make sure that we're in compliance with things that we weren't in compliance with. And trying to get to a place where, you know, we can proceed forward and that can easily be, you know, merged in once we know what all is there that needs to be kind of delegated and moved around.
Were there things the city wasn't in compliance with?
Yes.
Such as?
Yearly reports.
Really?
That are mandated by the pension code.
Really?
Yeah.
How does something, color me skeptical, but how does something like that not get done?
Well, because the pensions and things of that nature tend to be somewhat outside of most of the city function. So, and that becomes a little bit problematic then, because, you know, the city manager, finance director don't really have a clear picture of what that operation looked like. So that was part of my problem transitioning in was, the day that I spent with Dahlberg in transition before he left office. We basically didn't talk about anything or anything. And I even asked him, you know, okay, so what needs to be done and what's, you know, day-to-day responsibilities? And he's basically like, well, it's pretty much gone and talked about moving to Florida.
Almost sounds like senioritis a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there was a good case of that too. But, you know, I think honestly the biggest transition or the biggest kind of the downhill turn was a lot of the work. You know, I think for most of the treasurers going back, a lot of the work was being done by their deputy, which is why, you know, historically you see, you know, I believe Becky Mason was Tom Wilson's deputy. Becky Mason becomes treasurer. Then you have, you have Trisha, and I can't remember Trisha's last name. Sorry, Trisha. Trisha come in under Becky, and then she stayed with Marv. And so a lot of that work, a lot of like the reconciliations and things like that were being done by the deputy. It wasn't being done by the treasurer. And so when that deputy was pulled away in December, basically a lot of that type of thing just kind of fell away to the wayside.
So it's not like it was a long-term problem, but it was a short-term problem
that you needed to fix
right away.
Well, I mean, with that one, but honestly, in the report that I'm referring to, I don't think there had been a report for a number of years.
Wow. Do you have a deputy, by the way, or is it just you?
This has been a point of discussion. because when it was originally presented to kind of eliminate the position to the city council and to merge it with the finance director, there was a change to the ordinance, because the ordinance stipulates that you have to appoint, in the way it's worded, that you have to appoint a deputy and bond a deputy. And so they had removed that in the proposal. Well, when they did a compromise, which was to make it part-time instead of merging it with the finance director in the finance department, that kind of got lost in the shuffle. Currently the ordinance says that I'm supposed to appoint a deputy.
You haven't appointed one?
I haven't, because we've been in discussions about how to do that, what that needs to look like. And the problem becomes, you know, if you appoint the logical deputy – which would be, you know, probably someone in the finance department, you begin to have problems then, because, you know, you don't want them taking bombardment from city council or other things because, you know, now they're the deputy.
The saga continues.
Yeah.
It's 8:34. We're talking with City Treasurer Elijah French here on Galesburg Live this morning.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
It's 8:39 on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson as Galesburg Live continues this morning. Good morning. Glad you're here. I am sure glad I am not the city treasurer of Galesburg, because I don't know that I would want that job with a, I don't know if you paid me all the money in the city budget to do it, Elijah French.
You wouldn't do it for roughly about $85 million?
That might be a good starting point for my salary. But we've been talking here about some of the things that you've had to do since you took office here in you took office at the beginning of May, right?
Yeah, right.
You were elected in April.
Yep. May 2nd was first day in office.
Are you – obviously, you had to have somewhat of a knowledge of the treasurer's office in order to even run for it. But has all of this these reports that haven't been filed and things like that, has anything surprised you at this point? Or are you at the point now where nothing could surprise you?
I'm sincerely waiting for, as I kind of go through the files that are in the office that haven't really, and we talked about this last time, but you know, the files that haven't really been cleaned out and properly dealt with, I'm waiting to find something that says, you know, that,
you know, April Fool.
Yeah, well something that says, like, on the third week of July, I have to, you know, make a public address, you know, saluting Michael Madigan, or something.
I think in your old job, I think you had to do that with the comptroller's office, but that's another discussion for another day.
And so,
isn't that how you get those state jobs? You have to pledge allegiance to the Speaker of the House, or
you got to make deals.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you got to make deals.
But yeah, I guess that suffice it to say, right, with all the stuff you say you found, that probably nothing else could surprise you at this point.
No, it would just be, oh, okay, well, that's wonderful.
Great. What else do I have to do?
Yeah.
I joked with Elijah off the air. I said, you're going to have to run for another term in order to get all this.
No.
You heard it here first. Elijah French is not running for another term. Well, actually, you didn't hear it here first, because you ran on that.
Right.
But anyway, excuse me. I wanted to talk to you specifically in these two segments, mostly about the pension situation, because I think, if I'm gathering right, a lot of what you found that you need to do but hasn't been done, first of all, is stuff relating to pensions, Were you surprised that you have to spend so much of your job doing this? Or was it just kind of something you figured you'd have to take on?
I knew there was a certain amount of it that would need to be there just because of the role of the treasurer with the pension funds, because they're the treasurer for the pensions. And so, that I understood. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, as a citizen of Galesburg, I didn't kind of realize. I mean, I knew the pension system was bad in Galesburg and that there was a problem with it.
It's bad everywhere, though.
But I didn't realize it is. It is. It's definitely a statewide issue. I mean, even if you separate the state, state pensions out of it, and you're talking just public safety pensions, so police and fire specifically, it's bad around the state. But I didn't realize how bad it was for Galesburg.
As I ask you, how bad is it for Galesburg at this point? I think I might have told you at one point in the last couple of years as I covered Springfield, I didn't know, at least in that city's case, that all of the city's portion of the property tax bill pays for police and fire pensions at this point, and they're still underfunded, and they're probably going to be underfunded for a long time to come. Yep. Is that kind of what we're heading toward here, if not already?
Yes. Yep. So as of right now, according to the actuarial that was done or presented in May, beginning of May.
Oh, so somebody was doing pension reports this month, this year.
Yeah, the actuarial was. our outside contracted actuarial was. So the actuarial has put between police and fire, the unfunded liability for both together is $57 million.
Okay.
The problem is, that unfunded liability is based upon the idea that we're going to get 6.5% back in our investments. So that's the increase that the investments are going to make.
I'm not a math scholar, and I'm not fully understanding of the financial markets, but interest rates in general have been ridiculously low. So it seems to me, if I just think about it like that, that 6.5% is way too high. I imagine that that's what you're telling me.
Well, in part, I don't want to get into the, more complicated stuff.
Sure.
Because that would take forever to explain. But basically, because of the nature of the investments that are being made, it is affected in some cases by, CPI and things of that. Or
consumer price index.
Right, right. CPI, or it's affected by, the Federal Reserve's interest rate. And so some of that is adequate because there is a lot of money in treasury notes with the pension funds. So that definitely is affected. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of it. But, you can go to stock market. You can do mutual funds. You can do, CDs. You can do a whole lot of different things investment-wise. Now, to the pension board's kind of defense, some of that is hamstrung by the state, by statute, in all these funds because of the size of the fund. So the smaller the fund, the more constraints there is on it. And so we should, the actuarial is looking for a 6.75 return. Our historic return is more along the lines of, 4%, something around there.
Why would there be such a difference between reality versus what almost sounds like pie in the sky?
Well, I think they look at you look at some of the other pension funds. So whether it's IMRF,
Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund.
Yep. I've gotten used to saying acronyms.
Well, a lot of people do it. I don't know that we spend enough time explaining it, but that's okay. I'll do the heavy lifting on that. Keep going.
so IMRF, SLEP, which is the state law enforcement pension. Mm-hmm. That's what the state police are in. That's what the sheriffs are in. Is SLEP. The teachers' retirement system and others, they get a much better return, but that's because they're much bigger funds and they are able to invest a little bit more. Because the reality is, any investment is the higher return that you get. Obviously, the less security there is, the more risk there is in the thing. And so that's kind of what you're looking at.
So what you're telling me then is if the city, if a city fully funded its pension system, that 6.5% rate of return, or 6.75 or whatever you said it was, that's more realistic. If
no.
the pension, it's not.
No. Okay. No, that rate of return has absolutely nothing to do with how much money the municipality is putting in.
Okay.
In order to get the kind of returns that I'm talking about, that because of the lax of rules from the state, you would have to merge all of the fire and police pensions in the state.
Okay.
Which has been proposed in the General Assembly. It didn't go anywhere because the various interest groups with the public safety funds fought against it.
Hmm.
But that has been proposed, and that would help increase the amount of return, as demonstrated by the other statewide funds, okay. like IMRF,
okay.
For instance. No. So the city of Galesburg historically, from fiscal year 17 to fiscal year 2016, has put in more than what the actuarial has told them to put in okay. over the course of that time. This last year was really is kind of where we're starting to turn the corner on that, because it's just too much. I mean, the
because of what revenues, the state funding, or
no, it's like because in part it's because in part of, you know, no matter how much money you're putting in, if you have a fund that's rate of investment is roughly about 3% less
mm-hmm.
than what it should be, and each percentage point that you're missing out, from my understanding, basically equates to a 20% increase in your unfunded liabilities.
Wow.
Okay. So we're talking 60% increase in the unfunded. So let me go back to that original number that I gave you, that we're unfunded at 57 million. If you add in the fact that we're missing that percentage by 3 percentage points, roughly 60%, that number jumps to 92 million.
Wow.
And so that's what is kind of happening and what's going on. And so regardless, I mean, the city's payment to the pension funds combined was in 2007 about 1.5 million. Today it stands at over 5 million.
Wow.
And as a municipality can't absorb that.
It's unsustainable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unsustainable. And additionally on that, you know, the reality is that Galesburg's property tax share represents, I believe the last number that I saw was 8.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we're quickly approaching, you know, as that unfunded, you know, we're not getting those returns, that unfunded liability continues to increase. We're going to be there. We're going to be where property taxes are going to be completely consumed by the pension funds. We're going to be at 8 million, especially when every year we're increasing anywhere between half a million to, you know, 300,000 to that collective pension fund.
Wow. So it's a good thing unfortunately, I majored in liberal arts, so that that really helps my understanding of this financial situation immensely. Need to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll talk maybe about if there's some way that we can get out of this, although I have a feeling I know the answer to that. I also want to take a minute or two to talk about an opportunity that folks have to talk to you one-on-one here coming up.
To ask the expert your question during Galesburg Live, call 342-9194 or email your question to WGIL@WGIL.com.
8:55 on WGIL. Rapidly running out of time for Galesburg Live today, but glad to have you along nonetheless. I'm Will Stevenson. Glad to have Galesburg City Treasurer Elijah French with us this morning as well. We've been talking about pensions and the seemingly growing problem of unfunded pension liability. See, at least I got that term right. I may not be able to figure out numbers, but I do know terminology. and for that, I should be commended. I'm kidding. We only have a couple of minutes left, Elijah, but I wanted to ask you, if this is a growing problem that the city may seemingly never be able to get out of, well, let me back up and ask, is this a problem that the city can somehow get out of, or will we have to go and buy a Powerball ticket, which we'll have to drive to Iowa to get in a week's time, but that's neither here nor there, hope that we win the big jackpot and that would solve all our problems?
In theory,
it seems like that's almost what it would come to.
Yeah, in theory, I mean, anytime you're dealing with a budget or dealing with a fund, you know, there's three ways that you can deal with it. You can raise taxes. You can cut personnel, you know, spending, et cetera, or you can grow your way out of it. Well, the problem is with number three, which is the preferred way, you would grow the population, therefore there's more tax revenue.
Easier said than done.
But we live in Illinois. No one wants to be here. We're migrating people out. Businesses don't want to be here. They're leaving the state.
We don't have time to get into that discussion, Elijah.
So Galesburg has the unfortunate reality of being in Illinois.
Yeah.
So growing becomes hard. I mean, we've done it, but it's not been to the magnitude that we really need. Then the second part of that is, so cuts. And that's essentially what the city's been trying to do, city management, is they've been trying to deal with the long-term issue by reducing the firefighter force, which means that in the future there's less people on the pension rolls. So that's kind of how they've been trying to address it. But they've also been raising taxes. The levy, as I kind of said earlier, the levy, you know, has went up from $700,000. Now we're talking $2 million per fund plus. So they have been raising that tax. They've been doing that levy because they really have no choice in the matter. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the city's options. The other part of that would be is that the pension boards who control the investments need to figure out and find a way, get with their financial advisors because they have financial advisors, get with them or another financial advisor and figure out a way to get that return up. Because that's really going to deal with the long-term debt. And so that's really the city's options. Mm-hmm. What I feel would be the best option is to do the public safety pension similar to how IMRF is done, where you have a statewide pool that is able then to be more aggressively invested by professionals instead of necessarily the local board. But in return of that, the local board could still be there to rule on things like, you know, whether someone that was fired or removed for misconduct, et cetera,
deserves a pension.
Right. Should be allowed to keep their pension and things like that. They could retain control of that. But let the investment go into a larger pool that'll get a better return. And bluntly, also attach the stipulation with IMRF where right now, with the police and fire pensions, you know, the city can choose whether or not it's going to, you know, follow the actuary or follow the recommendation of the pension boards.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a state minimum, but Galesburg's never done the state minimum. There's cities who have, and they've been doing it for years, which is, you know, not what you want to be doing. And so IMRF basically says whatever your actuarial is or whatever the GASB number is, the Government Accounting Standards Board,
yeah,
whatever that number is what you're going to put in. You don't have a choice. And so I think there's a win-win for the city because that payment will begin coming down. The win for, you know, police and fire and public safety people that we want to have pensions because of their service is that the amount going into that fund is protected then.
All right. We were flat out of time, Elijah, but I want to give you 15 to 20 seconds, if you can, to talk about your big block of cheese day, which will forego the discussion about why it's called that. But basically, you want people to come in and talk to you.
Yeah. So July 3rd, I'm just taking the entire day to meet with the public. They can come in, happy to talk about whatever they want to talk about. So and for an hour or 30 minutes, I would just ask that you would go to the Facebook page or call city office and schedule an appointment. That way I can make sure that if, you know, we don't get into a situation where on July 3rd, you know, there's a bunch of people saying they're waiting for me because they just walked in to talk to me.
And your office number is?
That's a great question. I've been trying to memorize. I'm horrible with numbers. But I believe it is
efrench@ci.galesburg.il.us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the email. But okay. The phone number, I believe, is 345-3642.
It'll ring to some city office, and they can transfer you to the treasurer's office. Yeah. At least let's hope that's where it goes. Elijah French, Galesburg City Treasurer, great thanks. We'll have to have this discussion again soon, and hopefully things will get better before they get worse. But who knows, right?
Right.
Elijah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Will.
It's 9:01. Thanks for joining us on Galesburg Live this week. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy railroad days and enjoy the Handyman Show with Glenn Hakey next on WGIO.